Shalom, all praises, glory, and honor to the Heavenly Father, Yahweh, in the name of His only begotten Son, HaMashiach, Yahweh Shai. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is nigh. I want to make a correction, and I say Salakia to you brothers and sisters out there. I had part of it right, and I'm making a correction. The last broadcast, I spoke about the people from the South Pacific. Not specifically the Americas, but the South Pacific, which is, you know, not too far. Hawaii, the Polynesian islands of, what you call Yafit, the people of Yafit, which would be more so considered of Asian descent. They are the Minoans, instead of the, I think I said this, it was either the, Sidonians, I can't remember, I have to go back, but I want to make the correction. The people, from, or the Polynesians, as I did state, they were the, ancient Greeks. They were, or there's been a lot of proof through history records that the people of Polynesian descent were the ancient Greeks from Crete. So I did get that part about the Greeks, but I believe that I made a mistake on another description of, I remember the Phoenicians. I believe I said they were the Phoenicians, but they are the ancient people from Crete, or the ancient Greeks before the Edomites came into that land. Because if you really think about it, Asia Minor, which is Europe, that was all Yafit, and they were pushed further and further east. So I want to get a little bit of information, and this is an article from scoop.co.nz. And I'm assuming that's New Zealand, the NZ. So, here we go. I'm going to read the article. And it says, Samoan Minoans from ancient Crete, the origin of Polynesia. It says, Samoan Minoans from ancient Crete, which Crete is an island of Greece. It says the origin of Polynesia. It says in presenting these findings, I will be important to remember that these themes and ideas are only introductory. Other comparative studies based on my hypothesis will appear in a final and complete compilation of theories and ideas in a new book called Samoan Minoans from Ancient Crete, to be produced in the near future. This is one of the history's great mysteries that glitter in the realm of the unknown, just beyond the realm of scientific proof. It is the origin of Polynesia. To this day, scholars, historians, archaeologists still speculate as to when and how the first people of Polynesia came to establish their newfound homeland in the South or in the Pacific Ocean. It says, my hypothesis simply draws on the popular notion that Samoa is the cradle of Polynesia. Reverend John B. Stair coined the phrase in his book, Old Samoa, one of the earliest accounts of Samoan history written in 1843. Samoa is the fountainhead of the cradle of Polynesia. to construct a theory around the origin of Polynesia, we must examine first the cultural and ancient oral traditions of Samoa itself. The undertaking is a difficult one, and it contradicts the traditional view, which is that the Samoan people did not migrate from any other island or motherland. Samoan traditions hold that view of Tangaloa Alagai created the world and the Samoan people out of the earth, hence their name Samoa. One traditional view states that anything born out of the Moa or center of the earth was sacred to Moa or Samoa. It says, I believe that a migration narrative can be established for the Samoan people as the first and true descendants of Polynesia. The first Polynesians were made up of the ancient people of Crete, known to the modern world as the Minoans, and the people from the Aegean Sea, notably the people from the island of Samos. This view is founded on the theological and biblical account of creation and the parallels within the Samoan culture and its tradition, ancient traditions, which is identical to those of the ancient Minoa civilization. To support this theory, I will present ideas around circumnavigation methods used by the ancient Minoans to reach the Pacific region. Above all, we cannot understand the origins of Samoa without an in-depth knowledge of Samoa's oral traditions and its proverbial statements, which are the record keepers of an older tradition in the ancient world. And understanding of these old traditions and systems were reserved only for those belonging to the ancient kings of Samoa and their heirs. Let's see. Okay, it says, to unravel the mysteries around the origin of Samoa and Polynesia, we must revisit the classic story of Noah and the flood as described in the book of Genesis 7, 1 through 24. It says, what we want to examine here is the aftermath of the flood when the ark actually comes to rest at Mount Ararat, part of present-day Turkey, which... from a satellite view, you can actually see the outline of the ark on Mount Ararat. It says, there is, if you like, the drawing of a new world from Genesis 6 and 9. It says, we are also told about Noah's three sons, Ham, Shem, and Yafet. It says, the story can be found in other Western and Eastern cultures where the story of Noah or variations of this particular event is part of their traditions. So they're going into how every culture, whether it be Western or Eastern, have an account of the of a Noah and the great flood, Noah's Ark. It says Greek, Indian, and Chinese cultures are examples here. The origin of the first Polynesians began here with Noah's sons. Of the three sons, Ham's descendants can be traced in the tropical areas of Africa, India, the Mediterranean, and the Pacific. According to the Table of Nations by Tim Osterholm, the descendants of Ham, which means dark colored or hot, include the Egyptians, Ethiopians, Canaanites, Phoenicians, and Hittites. Now, when you go into the Zondervan Bible, it'll tell you that Ham is the progenitors of the Egyptians, the Ethiopians, and all the other darker tribes, but it says not the Negroes, which goes to show you that we're from Shem. We're Shemitic people. We're Shemites. This is why Kanye or Ye said that we can't be anti-Semitic, because the word Semitic is not the actual way that you say Semitic. Actually, you would say Shemitic, because Semitic is derived from the one of Noah's sons, which is Shem. So we're Shemitic people. We're not a Hamitic people, based, you know, on the misinformation and the lies of, you know, of European culture that said that we're Hamites. We're not Hamites. We're Shemites. But the again, the Hamites or the progenitor of the of Ham, or Seleucia, the progenitor of the Egyptians and the Ethiopians, Canaanites, Phoenicians, and Hittites. They're out of Ham, which I'm glad I ran across this article, because this clears up, you know, the mistake that I made going into the Phoenicians. The Phoenicians are a Hamitic people. They're not Shemitic or even Japhetic. It says his descendants appear to be the first to fill the earth, as they were the first settlers of Africa, Asia, Australia, South Pacific, and the Americas. And you notice that throughout the world, you'll see melanated people. So Ham, Shem, and Japheth, they were melanated men. So this is why you see darker skin or melanated Asians, especially people from like Vietnam, parts of China, you know, Japan, you know, Thailand. You'll see very dark skinned Japhetic people. It goes on to say the Mediterranean Sea and the location of Crete are of great importance for thus forming the centerpiece of my hypothesis. Crete is the center island of the particular region. The isolation of the island Crete is also crucial when comparing this to the Pacific Islands, and in this case, Samoa's central location geographically and the other surrounding island groups in the Pacific. So basically, the Minoans were the Polynesians, and they, you know, the Minoans were from Crete. So the first so-called Greeks, from the island of Greece, they were the Polynesians. And then they traveled by boat to the South Pacific, you know, or the Pacific, Pacific Ocean, you know, and that, as this article says, I'll read it a little bit more. It says, again, this is the systematic, or actually, let me read it a little further up. It says, also a point of reference, the only other area in the world where the scattering of the smaller islands is within the area of Aegean Sea. It says, this unique formation is the identical to the Pacific Islands formation in the Pacific Ocean, only on a smaller scale. Again, is a systematic calculation by the Minoans for the selection of the islands of Samoa as a settlement place of the first Polynesian. Centralization is a theme that runs profusely in the ancient Minoan civilization, especially with its trading and commerce activities. This model has long been adopted in the modern world of today, such as centralized governments in New Zealand or in the U.S. Samoa was chosen of its central location within the Pacific realm surrounding the main island groups of Tonga, Fiji, Tahiti. The relationship between these island groups is well documented through their shared histories and oral traditions. One of the most important features of my research deals with the naming process of Samoa in relation to the island name of Samos. While the name Minoan is from the more recent tradition, the name Samos can be traced in an ancient period in history The names given to other places in Samos bear a close resemblance to the place names given to Samoa and other Polynesian islands. For instance, Avlakia and Lakia, Samos is similar to the name Aitutaki, which is part of the Cook Islands. Also, the Salakia, if I'm not pronouncing this right, Samiopaula Island, Samos, bears similarity to the name Upolu, a place both in Samoa and Hawaii, and Salakia, if I'm not, again, pronouncing it right for people that are from, you know, those islands, because our people are scattered. I'm not saying that the people of Polynesian or Israelites. I'm saying that our people are scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. So the Israelites will reside anywhere where the heathens reside at. That's a part of the curses. We would be scattered among the Gentiles. And I'm one that don't teach that the people from Hawaii or Israelites, such as GOCC, that's what they teach. But I will say that Israelites are scattered worldwide, and you would have Israelites that will live in those areas in the South Pacific. Okay, let's see. Wait a minute. Hold on. This is the second point to note deals with the reference to the Sea Peoples discussed by Sanford Host in the Sea People and the Phoenicians. Here we are reminded that Ham's descendants, the Phoenicians, that the Sea People were from the Aegean Sea. They were great navigators and the masters of the sea. So you had the Hamites, the Phoenicians, that were great navigators. That's why you'll have historians that will say that the Phoenicians were over here in the Americas and other parts of the world because they were, as it says, great navigators and masters of the sea. It says Ham's descendants were characterized by interest and ability in agriculture, trading, and commerce. The Minoans were seafarers and skilled traders who established the first trade routes in this region and often traded with Egypt and other countries during this period. History also states that Samoa was referred to as the Navigator's Island by the French circumnavigators Bourgainville in 1768. In ancient Samoa traditions, the belief was that still is O Samoa a Tagata Falau. Samoans or navigators, the term Falau means to sail or travel. The world navigator means to Tauta Salakia, Taute Tau means reach or fight, and Tai means wave, sea, or ocean. It says the Minoans were highly skilled and advanced technologically. Their isolation from the mainland allowed them to construct a new system of government and culture that is unmatched even by today's modern standards. They created the idea of a utopian society and lived accordingly by these principles. A popular view today held by modern scholars is that the Minoans are the same people who established the city of Atlantis. See, there's a lot of, you know, folklore behind Atlantis, you know. I've done a little bit of research on it, but I don't have any a solid opinion about it other than just like all of us, we've heard about Atlantis. It was a highly advanced civilization, and then all of a sudden it disappeared. And I will say that just because it's a folklore, it don't mean that it's not real. I'll just say it like that, because at this point, a lot of stuff that we were told that was so-called folklore, come to find out it was actually true. So just, you know, just like the sea creatures that are in the ocean, you know, strange and newly created beast. You have Leviathan, and Leviathan in modern terminology is what? Is Godzilla. There's a sea creature that actually breathes fire. It's written of in the Bible. It's in the book of Job. So a highly advanced civilization, that's not out the realm of possibility, because the technology that they had in the ancient time is more advanced than the technology that we have now. How? Because they can't reduplicate those pyramids. The precision of how those pyramids were cut. You're talking about tons of heavy rock. And the way that those stones were cut and symmetrically placed on that pyramid. Esau, he don't have powerful enough cranes to reduplicate it. So the technology that they had back in the day, or, you know, in the ancient times, is and was more advanced than the technology today. Or at least it's not mainstream. It says the Minoans were also the first to establish the trade routes, which enabled them to trade across the region. They were a sea power and dependent on their naval ships for their livelihood. They also established colonies in Thera, Rhodos, Melos, and Kythera. Frescoes found in these places point to the political and social dominance of the Minoan culture, which included the region of Aegean Sea and other surrounding islands. The Minoan civilization would flourish for hundreds of years. It would also give rise to the Greek world a generation later. So the Polynesians, again, were the first Greeks. They were on the island of Crete, which is a Greek island. And then, you know, the Edomites came in, you know, one of the, you know, famous leader of the Greeks was who? Alexander the Greek. When you go into the time of Judas Maccabees and his brothers, they were fighting against the Greeks, you know, during that time period. Because you had, you know, when the Edomites came into power, that was during that time period, during the Greeks and the Romans. And they're Edomites. They're from, you know, their progenitor is Esau, who is the paternal brother of Jacob. Jacob is the progenitor of the Negro, Latino, Native American people. And then Esau is the progenitor of the Caucasian people. So these were two brothers, paternal brothers, but two separate nations. And so the Edomites, through the Greeks, gained power. And they're in power now. They actually were in the time period of, again, the Greeks and the Romans. And then after they lost power, you know, or they were no longer ruling, that would be the Dark Ages. You're going into the what you call the what is it? I'm trying to think. The Byzantine Empire. This is when Negroes ruled Southern Europe and, you know, other parts of Europe during that time period. The Byzantine Empire. This is the information that comes out now with Russia. That was a part of the Byzantine Empire. This is why the art, the Russian icons, which is all the ancient art of antiquities that show the images of biblical people, such as the Messiah, who the world ignorantly calls Jesus Christ, portrayed as a black man in the art. Pictures of Mary, a black woman, in the art. Pictures of Moses, the disciples, all of those stories that are written of in the Bible, the art depicted who the people actually were or what they looked like. And so during that time period, the Byzantine Empire, so-called Negroes ruled Europe, which is during the time of the Dark Ages. That's why they call it the Dark Ages. They're talking about so many hundreds of years where nothing was recorded. No, that's false. They know that black people ruled Europe. And this is why during Renaissance period, which means rebirth, this is during the time of 1492, where the Moors, who were Negroes of Israelite stock, ruled Europe, but they had taken on the religion of Islam. This is where you get the rulership of Israelites or the Moors in Spain, because they were in Spain, they were in Portugal, they were in Sicily. This is why you'll hear of Sicilians or, you know, Italians, or mainly Sicilians from the island of Sicily. They have dark skin, they have curly hair. And even in that movie, what was that? One of my favorite movies, I can't think of the name of it. It was with Dennis Hopper, had all the stars in it. Rosetta Arquette. She was an Arquette. She was in the movie. Christian Slater, True Romance. And that scene with Dennis Hopper and Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken was like a mob boss, and they were about to kill Dennis Hopper in the movie, and he knew that his time was up, so he basically told the truth. He told Christopher Walken's character that he was a half eggplant, and he went into the history of the Moors that went into Sicily and basically repopulated Sicily. And you know, in the movie, he ended up getting killed, but he really went into the history of Southern Europe. You know, Ireland, Scotland, England, France. You go into the Dark Ages, you'll see all of that history of Negroes ruling Europe. And this is what they've been keeping from us. This is why institutions like the Smithsonian and the museums, other very prestigious museums and universities, they have our history, and they have hidden it. The Vatican is by far the greatest, purveyor of all of our hidden artifacts. They in the vaults and in underground of Vatican, they have all of our, all of our relics. They know more about our history than us. And the Lord is allowing all of this to come out. So you have Vladimir Putin that that did that press conference and said that Jesus Christ was a black man. Now, how you think these other nations feel about that? They've been hiding that history from us for so long. But we've been knowing about the Russian icons because brothers that's been in this truth for a while have always went into what the Messiah looked like and even showed you the art of the Russian icons, because all of that information online is available. If you look up the Russian icons, even some of the, you know, authentic artwork is still for sale. If you go on eBay, you'll see a lot of the artwork that people are selling for thousands of dollars, real artifacts. The book Russian Icons, at one point, it was like $10,000. Before all of this came out, maybe about 10, 15 years ago, that book or the book been out for a while. And they keep that history from us so we won't know who we are as a people. Because in America, they just teach us what? About slavery, that we were slaves. And before that history, they keep all of that, you know, from us. So, you know, even going into this history about the Minoans, it's not directly related to the Israelites, but it is a part of history. And us in this truth, we have to know history. We have to know these timelines, because these are the other nations that we, for the most part, at some point, our history crossed paths, you know. So going back to what I was saying about the Greeks, they were ruling over Israel. You know, they were one of the nations, one of the seven times that we were in some form of a bondage or captivity, or we were occupied. And this is why the time of Hanukkah is very important, because that goes into how the temple was rededicated. When we as a nation, we ran the Greeks out of our homeland, and the temple was cleansed, because the heathens, they were sacrificing swine's flesh on the altar. They totally polluted the temple. And this is where you get the rededication of the lights, because the temple had to be cleansed. The altar had to be rebuilt, because it was, again, it was swine's flesh, and the blood was on that altar. It was defiled. So the heathens, you know, when they come against Israel, not only they use violence, but they use mockery. You know what I'm saying? By doing that, it was mockery. You know, so the Lord, he's gonna judge these heathens, all these heathens that came against us as a people throughout history. None of them is going to get away with it, you know. So going back to the article, it says Minoan civilization would flourish for hundreds of years. It would also give rise to the Greek world a generation later. The turning point would arrive around 1450 BC around the island of Thera within the Aegean Sea, erupted, which decimated his region, crippling the Minoan civilization. By the time the Minoans rebuilt their cities, the temples, Crete was under Mycenaean rule. It says, what happened to the Minoans after the time is shrouded in mystery. The most remarkable of occurrence around this time is indicated by ancient historians, anthropologists, and archaeologists, is the fact that on the other side of the world, the settlement of Polynesia takes place around the same time as the Thera interruption. If we place the settlement of Polynesia at about 1470 BC, It says, when there was a 20-year interim period of the Minoans to find a new settlement place after the eruption at Thera. It says the motive to leave their homeland of Crete was simply to avoid future natural disasters and rebuild their communities outside of the Mediterranean Sea. What takes place next was the long search of the new island similar to the natural environment offered by Crete in the Aegean Sea. So they're saying that when the Minoans or the Polynesians left Crete, they would search for a location or island similar to what Crete offered in the Aegean Sea. It says this route would take them to the Indo-Pacific region and to the gateway of Polynesia, which is going into the South Pacific. It says this route is commonly known as the trade winds of circumnavigation route used by the early European explorers and also by today's modern travelers. A typical sail and circumnavigation of the world by the trade winds in the Suez and Panama Canal is an important feature in a modern traveling activity. Although the Suez and the Panama Canal was only completed in 1869, the passage through the Red Sea was still used in ancient times. This is a route followed by many cruising sailors going in a western direction. The use of trade winds make it a relatively easy sail through a number of zones of calm and light winds. So they're saying through that region, it was easy for them to sail. Just like when you go into how the 10 tribes came over here, they went into a similar route. They went from the Euphrates and traveled all the way down at the foot of South America, and each tribe, pretty much resided wherever they stopped. And this is why you have the Israelites on certain islands, like Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, and Haiti is next to that. Is the same island. All down South America, you have all the different tribes to Central America and all the way up to North America. And then, Canada, which is where the Israelites would reside. And to get that information, that's in the Apocrypha. It talks about how the 10 tribes came to here. Or came to the Americas, which America in the Bible or the Apocrypha is known as Arsareth. That's what this land is called. Before it's called America, North America or the, the western part of this world, it was actually called Arsareth. So that's pretty much it. I just wanted to actually read a little bit more. It says the settlement of Samoa, the Minoans then began a process of establishing a whole new culture called Polynesia after the Greek word poly, which means many, and nesos, islands. So Polynesia means many islands. It says the island of Manawa, Salakia, if I'm not saying it right, especially some of you brothers and sisters that are from the islands. I hate mispronouncing words, but I'm not really too familiar with the pronunciation, but I'm doing my best. It says the island of Manoa in Samoa, based on the ancient traditions of Polynesia, is considered to be the first settlement of Polynesia. After analyzing new information, the actual site and region where the first Minoans settled before the dispersion of the other parts of Samoa may be established and will be discussed at a later stage. Over time, the Samoan Minoans will formulate a new language and oral tradition and also a political system, later developing the Samoan Matai system based around the ideals of monarchism, identical to those of Crete, going into, you know, like the kings. That's like, you know, the monarch system. Because they in Hawaii, they even had, you know, the monarch system. It says the Minoans, the masters of the sea, would turn the islands of Samoa into the center point of navigational exploration in a wider Pacific Ocean. Samoa would become the hub for trading purposes, and through the activity, they would spread their new culture right across the Pacific region, including the distant islands of Hawaii. They also reached the American continent, but returned to its preferred isolated center of Samoa. It says these were natural traits from a system already grounded in Crete and the Aegean Sea. The Minoans also duplicated the Minoan civilization in a chosen place, which was Samoa. Hey, this is this got a lot of good information. So again, the website is scope or scoop.co.nz. That's C or Slovakia. It's S C O O P dot C O dot N Z. scope.co.nz. That's the article. So yeah, this is some interesting history going into the Minoans, who were the ancient Greeks in modern times there from the island, or the people of Polynesia. So you see how just because people can be in that land or that region don't mean that they were the original people. Just like the, you know, the ancient people from Crete, they weren't always from, you know, Europeans or Greeks. You know, you had the Japhetic people that was in that land, just like in the land of Israel, the people that's over there now, both the Israelis and the Palestinians, they're not the original people. So this goes to show you that just because people are over in the land don't make them the actual people. Let's see. I'm looking at a website. It says discovergreece.com. And all you see is, people that look like people of European descent. Let's see. So they're going into the Minoan culture. So it says you'll be transported to another time, wandering around the castles erected by the Venetians and the Byzantines. So we were over there. You know, the Byzantine Empire is basically when blacks ruled Europe during the Byzantine time period. And also a lot of the Roman emperors before the Byzantine, or at the time of the end of the Roman Empire going into the Byzantine Empire, you had a lot of black emperors. What's his name? Marcus Aurelius. He's a you know, famous for being known for stoicism, being a stoic. You've heard that before, where, you know, so basically a non-religious philosophy. Marcus Aurelius. He was a Roman emperor. Hold on, something's going up with my cell phone. Screen looks janky. Lord's will this record. So let me just give you the definition of stoicism. And he was a Roman emperor, but he was a black man. Let's see. Let me get that. Define stoicism. So stoicism is the endurance of pain or hardships without the display of feelings and without complaint. So that's, you know, basically the mindset of being a stoic. Like what we go through in life, it's all about endurance. And the Bible tells us this, you know, when it goes into how we are to handle tribulation. The Lord requires us to endure. This is why the scripture says that he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So part of enduring is, you know, basically patiently waiting on the Lord. You know, when we're going through things, the Lord requires us to have faith and patiently wait upon him. And growing in his truth more and more every day and throughout the years, you know, we learn those lessons of how to endure specific situations that we're in. So that's what it, you know, that's what stoicism means. So let's go back to, let's see. This is another example of how they cover the history. Let's see. I want to make sure I'm giving you the right history. It was let me go back. It was Septimius Severus, who was a black man. That's Severus, known as the Black Caesar. Let me double check about Marcus Aurelius. Because, you know, these devils, they didn't cover up our history. Even it's been put out there that the composer Beethoven was black. Let's see. Okay, hold on. I got a book by Lee Cummings that go into all the black emperors. You got a lot of people out there that'll scoff at the history, and they'll be like, "Oh, they'll say, oh, y'all believe everybody was black." No, we just going into the history, because we know through iconoclasm they hit our history. You know, which that was during the time of the Renaissance period.
Hold on. I know Septimius Severus was black, but I'm trying to see if Marcus Aurelius was black. Either way, he had some good information in regards to enduring, you know, hardships. Even Bruce Lee spoke about enduring hardships. You see how, like, cross-examining the information that even ourselves get, you know, even when we will make mistakes and we got to go back and correct them. That's what this truth is all about. You know, scripture says that we prophesy in part. Also that the earth helped the woman. So this is going into all the history. This is how we're able to go into, you know, who we are as a people. You know, so we can find out the truth. We got to go into the history, but I'll leave it at that. If it be the Lord's will, I might go into the Black Emperors, and then I can debunk about, you know, like who were actually the Black Emperors or who were the European Emperors, because, you know, these were Romans, you know, and basically Europeans, you know, Edomites. And then you had so-called black men that became emperors. No more different than black men in power here in America. It's no more different than that. You had Israelites so-called melanated people that lived in European culture or lived in countries or cities within that European culture, and they obtained positions of power. This is the mystery of the Gentiles. This is why you hear about Paul being a Roman citizen, and people will actually believe that Paul was a European. No, Paul was an Israelite from the tribe of Benjamin, which would be the modern day Jamaicans. But then he was a Roman, you know, he was a Roman soldier. So he, you know, he had authority in the Roman government. So, but you'll have, you know, people out there that are just hear the term, just like when you hear the word American, that's no more different than a Roman citizen. An American citizen. Basically a byword, you know. So that's pretty much it. You know, I hope this was edifying to the elect and the remnant. You know, you brothers out there, you sisters out there, I say shalom, peace and blessings. We're in perilous times. It's so much, you know, going on. You know, you got this thing going on with Diddy where all this information is coming out. And it appears that that whole fiasco that's going on have to do with the satanic rituals of the music industry, setting up politicians and other entertainers and basically the casting couch, you know, along with rituals, just the Hollyweird, you know, and just everything that has to do with occultism in the film industry or Hollywood, the music industry, which are all ran by the Ishes, and they're using, you know, basically magic, sex magic, to gain power on the left-hand side. It's a bunch of weird shit, but the Lord is exposing. We're in a time where the Lord told us that there's nothing that's going to be hid that shall not be made manifest. So all the demonic things that's happening throughout this earth and how these people have used, you know, the gift of music to basically use witchcraft on our people and to push, you know, divination, you know, to push, you know, debauchery, to push the prison culture. You know, you had the CIA that approached the record executives to push gangster rap so they can, what, make money through the prison system. Hip hop and the, you know, the specifically the gangster rap was put in place to create a prison pipeline to lock up a bunch of Negro and Latin people here in America. And now, you know, the gangster rap culture is worldwide. So it was a way to destroy generations of people, incarcerate them, and then the stockholders, private companies, or, you know, private, you know, what you call, private corporations that would have an invested interest in prisons. So people will make money by locking up people. Very satanic, you know. And this is why the truth is basically a thorn in the side of all these liars, because the truth stands. A lie cannot stand. And a lie will be exposed. And the Lord is exposing Esau. That's why he's shamed. You know, when you go into, the Old Testament goes into how Babylon will be exposed, lift up the skirt, which is going into Babylon being shamed, but also being exposed for the demonic acts. And this is why they're doing a lot now. To what? To shadow ban this truth and to vilify, demonize what's being said. You know, you get enough people to lie, people are gullible enough to believe it. So always examine what's being said, you know, use discernment. And as always, pray, watch as well as pray, repent. Because this devil, he's going to come down with great wrath, because his time is short, you know. So we're in a time of great change, but also we're in a time of great danger. This is why we need the Lord's mercy to protect us and to give us the spirit to endure and to have discernment in these last days. I want to give all praises, glory, and honor to the Heavenly Father Yahweh, in the name of his only begotten Son, Hamashiach, Yahweh Shai, Shalom.